Hello, and welcome to the Carnage Report, where we bring you the latest on all things horror-related, keeping you up to date with news you can use. I'm Julie Holland.
And I'm Nick Spacek. The Carnage Report is part of the Cinepunks podcast family. Go to cinepunks.com to find entertainment, news, reviews, and other great podcasts like Horror Business, Twitch of the Death Nerve, and Tomb of Ideas.
If you want to help support Cinepunks and ultimately this show, you can become a Cinepunks Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/cinepunks, CINEPUNX.
Also, please go check out our great sponsors like Essex Coffee Roasters. They offer specialty grade coffee roasted to order for the most fresh and delicious home brewing experience. Essex is committed to accessible, quality coffees, offering education on coffee and brewing to all of their customers. They believe you don't have to be a coffee expert to enjoy a great cup of coffee. And right now, if you go to their website, EssexCoffeeRoasters.com, you can use the promo code CINEPUNKS, you get 10% off.
You should also check out Lehigh Valley Apparel Creations, the premier screen printer of the Lehigh Valley and also the world. Personable, professional, the only place where you can get punk rock attitude with professional service and printing. You can find them at xlvacx.com.
Now it's time for the setup and episode regular getting to know you question. To tie in with this episode's movie, what's the weirdest pet story you have? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be your pet, but just like or even a weird pet. But what's the weirdest pet story you have?
Well, it doesn't have to be a story per se, except weird pet background. This is all I could think of, although I'm sure lots of weird pet stuff has happened to me. But in elementary school, we moved in with a boyfriend of my mom's, and he had so many pets. Like, we had, I think, when we first moved in, 5 dogs, like 17 birds of varying varieties, including a cockatoo, parrots, cockatiels, finches, canaries, parakeets, etc. He had saltwater fish. We had a pair of flying squirrels. We had a chinchilla. There was a lizard of some sort. I wasn't allowed to play with it, so I don't remember a lot about it. Eventually, my mom got a pair of geese that would chase me around and bite me. Yeah, it was wild. It was a wild amount of pets in a double-wide trailer. It was bananas. As I was a little kid and couldn't stay up late, I didn't get to see the flying squirrels very much because they are nocturnal, and ultimately they weren't very good pets, and we had to, we kind of returned them to the pet store, or maybe they rehomed them, I'm not sure. It's a shame, but the chinchilla was great. I've always had a variety of pets, so never insects or spiders though.
You're telling me that story and like I'm picturing it in my head, it's like, oh, this is a big like rambly like country house, and no, a double wide. Oh god.
I mean, it was maybe a little bit, but it's hard to say because I was a little kid and everything seemed bigger. It was more like a I guess more like a modular home. But not that big, really. Like 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, single level, standard size house. It was on some land. A couple of the dogs did live outside, but yeah, it was a lot of pets squeezed. I mean, if you didn't like the sound of birds, you weren't going to do well in that house because it was all birds all the time. One day I came home, I had been at my dad's for the weekend, and I came home and my mom had rescued an injured blue jay. And was just keeping it in my room where it pooped all over my things. She's just keeping it wild in my room because I was gone. That was cool. Thanks, Mom.
That is wild.
Yeah, that's my weirdest pet story. How about you?
I have numerous stories about our various cats falling off the half wall upstairs here. The reason it is now blocked off with a net. Including one that has been caught on, that was caught on video while he was being interviewed for a documentary. So that was fun. They sent me the footage. It's great. You see my cat try to jump up on top of a bookcase, and then all of a sudden he's not there anymore. And I'm all mic'd up, so I couldn't move. But my favorite story isn't even mine. My Spanish teacher in high school, Mrs. Rice, aka Señora Arroz, who oddly enough would also be our oldest Spanish teacher when he was in high school, It was very weird. I was like, hey, like Mrs. Rice and like a Spanish teacher in like northeastern Kansas. It's probably the same. And yeah, we went to parent teacher conferences and it was the same teacher. And she felt very old. But she told a story, in high school in class, and we were talking about pets kind of like this, and she and her husband had a boa constrictor, and the boa constrictor had gotten her husband had it before they even met, and it just got, they get huge. Mm-hmm. And when they get old, they get mean. And so when they fed it, they kept it in this big locked room sized cage, basically. And when they would unlock the door, he would have to go in holding a chair, literally a lion tamer in a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Oh, no.
While she held a baseball bat and a gun.
Oh, my God.
Had to literally be ready. If it just it got squirrely and decided to try to get him. She had to be ready to club it and then shoot it.
Jeez.
And that was a daily occurrence. Or however often they had to feed it.
I feel like at that point you find a different situation for your pet.
Yeah, it's just at that point, it's you start reaching out to folks.
Yeah, it's not you're receiving a lot of love that you will miss from a snake. Maybe you are, but it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that is not a pet with which you can cuddle. As a matter of fact, the entire point of that story is that they're trying to avoid cuddling.
Yes. Snake cuddle too hard.
It's not friend shaped. But yeah, that's my favorite weird pet story. What do you folks have out there? I want to hear your weird pet stories so much.
Yeah, bring them on. Unless the pet dies, and then please censor it for our sensitivities.
Yeah, yeah. No. No dead pets.
Yeah.
That's not weird. That's just sad.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be weird, but yeah. Let's be chill on that part. All right, now it's time for New Nightmares. This is our roundup of trailers, new to streaming, coming to theaters, etc., etc.
I'm very happy that our first trailer is not something that immediately dropped the day after we recorded our last episode.
Yes.
So many of these seem to be that happened last Monday. So in the middle of it. But we finally got the trailer for Ty West's Maxine. Starring Mia Goth, that will hit theaters nationwide on July 5th. And we have an actual plot summary. In 1980s Hollywood, adult film star and aspiring actress Maxine Meeks finally gets her big break. But as a mysterious killer stalks the starlets of Hollywood, a trail of blood threatens to reveal her sinister past.
This one looks the best of the three to me. I mean, I wasn't all that moved by X or Pearl, but this one I feel a little more excited about.
I really enjoyed X. I really liked Pearl, but I feel like this ties everything together really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And oh man, the cast of this, and it's
Kevin Bacon
playing a sleazy PI.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got Halsey. It's got Moses Sumney, which means we have another musician turned actor in this series, which I think is really cool, as good as Kid Cudi was in X.
Mm-hmm.
And Giancarlo Esposito, who is in everything now, evidently by some sort of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm excited for this one. This looks really good. And the trailer is good.
Also, The Night Stalker, which seems to be there was the documentary series on Netflix, notably a character in American Horror Story 1984.
Yeah.
Which I only remember because Tanya just watched that. But yeah, no, I'm like really excited. And also 4th of July weekend. Like that's going to be a blast and a half.
Yes. Plus we love the 80s. So that should be fun.
So much.
All right. Something I'm a little less excited about, honestly, is we got a trailer for the remake of Speak No Evil. The Danish original only came out like two years ago. And is good and fine. Yes, you have to read subtitles, but it's good and fine. It's very good. It's very hard to watch. This remake from Universal is going to come out on September 13th. I have to believe that that's in theaters. And it does have James McAvoy. It's got, you know, so we got big names. We got James Watkins, Mackenzie Davis, Scoot McNairy in the remake. When an American couple is invited to spend the weekend at the idyllic country estate of a charming British family they befriend on vacation, what begins as a dream holiday soon warps into a snarled psychological nightmare. Also, if you haven't seen the original and you want to see the remake, don't watch this trailer. It shows too much. It shows way too much.
It really does. It's
yeah.
I mean, it's a good trailer. Like it definitely like captures the feeling of the movie, but man, like mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, so there's no surprises. Like that was the thing. Like I think we covered the original trailer like a ways back, and like you had no idea like what you were getting into other than it was going to be, it was creepy and disturbing. And there were things that were going to be found out. And that was kind of about it. Mm-hmm. This one goes a lot further because it's an American trailer. And that's what we do.
Yeah. We like to show you the whole movie. I mean, I'll probably still watch this because I am curious. Is it going to go as hard as the other one, which is like infamously difficult to watch by the end, like really hard to watch the very end of the original. So we'll see. I have a feeling this holds back, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I mean, James McAvoy, like getting to be a bad guy. I mean, like he is the like in Split and Mr. Glass. Mm-hmm. Like he's so good. Like, but I don't know. Like I'll watch it mainly for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. But if you can, watch the original.
Speaking of watching things, because they're there and because this one's going to be on Netflix, like why not watch it? We have another Shark Attack movie because they seem to be making a comeback. This one's called Under Paris, which I was like, sure. I had no idea, like just the title. I was like, oh, Under Paris, a horror movie. Set in summer of 2024, the film unfolds in Paris, which is hosting the World Triathlon Championships on the Seine for the first time. Sophia, a brilliant scientist, learns from Micah, a young environmental activist, that a large shark is swimming deep in the river. To avoid a bloodbath at the heart of the city, they have no choice but to join forces with Adil, the Seine River police commander. This looks wonderfully stupid.
Yeah. Is it a coincidence that it's also the Paris Olympics this summer?
I don't think so. It's coming to Netflix on June 5th. Like, that is right around Summer Olympics time.
Yeah. Yeah, this timing is very perfect. And shark movies for summer, yes, please.
Yeah. And also, it looks exactly the mix of dumb and fun. Like, because it's got, like, boats in the, like, sewers under the city and like you know like an entire river full of swimmers a shark. I'm hoping this one goes hard. Like I know it's Netflix, so it's like a 50-50 shot, but I'm okay. Hoping at the very least it's good PG-13 fun.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's sharks because I hear the title Under Paris and I think it'll be a catacomb movie.
Yeah.
But sure, sharks.
I mean, I would like a combination. I would like a watery version of As Above, So Below. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, for our next one, this is actually a film that I just caught at Panic Fest called New Life. We got a trailer for it. It'll be on demand on May 3rd. New Life follows a mysterious woman on the run and the resourceful fixer assigned to bring her in. As their two stories inexorably link, the stakes of their pursuit rise to apocalyptic proportions. It's hard for me to judge the trailer having just seen the film, but I don't think it shows too much or anything. I think you could watch it and get excited for the film. And it's probably one of my top ones out of the fest. It was an interesting concept that really turned out really cool and very female led, which is also awesome.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this. Like, I watched this trailer and I was like, ooh, it just seems it. I like the idea of, I mean, there's obviously a biohazard suit in there, mm-hmm. and just like I have no idea what this is going to end up being about, and that kind of is what makes me want to see it.
Yeah, it ends up going to some really cool places and two parallel stories really unfolding at the same time in really cool ways. So,
oh, that's
if you can catch that on May 3rd, do it because it's a good one.
I do love parallel stories.
Yeah.
Also, I have discovered that I really like Indian action movies. And we've got one coming from writer-director Nikhil Nagesh Bhatt. It is just called Kill, and it's hitting theaters on July 4th. Hoping we get that somewhere around here so I can go see this on the big screen. Yeah. When Army Commando Amrit finds out his true love Tulika is engaged against her will, he boards a New Delhi-bound train in a daring quest to derail the arranged marriage. But when a gang of knife-wielding thieves led by the ruthless Fani begin to terrorize innocent passengers on his train, Amrit takes them on himself in a death-defying kill spree to save those around him, turning what should have been a typical commute into adrenaline-fueled thrill ride. I don't know who wrote that, but they deserve a raise.
Yes, that is a good synopsis.
That's a really good synopsis. Like a nice little pun.
This trailer had lots of very confined fighting, which was cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking like the Raid meets Snowpiercer. Sign me up. Like that's like just saying that out loud. I'm like, oh yeah, no, that I would see that.
Yeah. All right. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Just more action than horror, but oh.
But enough blood to count for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Up next, we have the Red Band trailer for which I had to log in and verify my age. And I'm not totally sure why, because it didn't seem that bad to me, but okay. For Love Will Tear Us Apart, the Japanese slasher movie coming to digital and on demand April 16th. It follows, Love Will Tear Us Apart follows Wakaba, a young woman grappling with her traumatic past. As she ventures into new romantic relationships, Wakaba realizes she is being followed by a relentless masked murderer. The mysterious killer targets anyone who dares to get close to her, turning her quest for love into a fight for survival. I didn't get the love angle from the trailer, but that, okay.
It makes the trailer make a lot more sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a cool mask and there's lots of blood, and this looks fun.
It looks like there's some humor in this too.
Yeah, there's definitely like a training montage previewed in the preview, which we love it. We love a montage.
We especially love a training montage. So yes. Yeah, it looks very, very splattery. There's a chainsaw on a pole.
Which is just hilarious. It made me think, oh, that's how you kill someone in COVID.
That's why they're wearing a mask.
Looks fun.
It really does.
And that's April 16th. So that's 2 days from now. It will be available by the time you hear this. So it's out there for rent.
We're not quite sure when this movie is going to come out. It's planned fall 2024. And it's the latest installment in the Pooniverse, which not a good name. I'm sorry. We've talked about like the various things this, but yeah, Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey is trying to create like a crazy like classic children's literature horror universe.
Yeah.
And this is Bambi the Reckoning. From director Dan Allen. In it, Xana and her son Benji, who find themselves in a car wreck and are soon hunted down by the vicious killing machine Bambi. It's a very short trailer. It's more of a teaser than anything else. Bambi looks massive, and definitely feral. And it knocks over a car.
Bambi might have rabies.
Might. The director says that at last the British countryside will get its Godzilla. I don't know about all that. Like, I appreciate it. Like, it's called the Twisted Childhood Universe. We're also getting Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, Pinocchio Unstrung. And it will come together in 2025 in Pooniverse Monsters Assemble when monsters join forces to take down the world.
I don't think I'm fully on this train, but I'm here for Bambi to finally get his revenge, but
I will use the phrasing that someone said late one night when I was doing a freeform shift on KJHK, playing nothing but Weird Al songs for 4 hours, and he was like, listen, I don't like what you're doing, but I appreciate that you're doing it.
Yes.
that's my take on this.
I can't go on this ride with you, but I'm happy that you're having it.
I'm glad you're having fun.
Yes. People have fun with this. I'm not going to say I won't watch it. I'm just not probably going to go out of my way for it.
Oh, yeah. No, like if a screener shows up in my inbox, I'm like, yeah, I'll check it out. Like, that's a good, like, it's been a week. I just want to sit on the couch and let my brain melt movie. And who knows? Maybe I'll be surprised. I mean, the bar is very low.
Yeah. Speaking of low bars, next trailer is Monster on a Plane. And this monster looks like a critter, which I appreciate. But maybe too much like a critter.
Yeah.
Let's see. We don't have any release information on this yet. This is like a D movie for sure. Here's what it's about. Professor Singh embarks on a journey to bring a mysterious creature from a distant land to Germany. However, when unexpected turbulence strikes the plane, the beast awakens and starts attacking passengers. Stewardess Natalie and teacher Ben team up to rein control amidst the chaos, but as they also uncover a ruthless murderer among the passengers, things quickly spiral out of control. I mean, do we need to add a murderer when we've already got a monster? Seems unnecessary. It's like a hat on a hat.
Yeah, but also the poster for this makes a lot of promises this movie cannot.
for sure. I mean, the monster does grow from a critter size to a very large size somehow in the course of the trailer. But
is it growing because it's eating things? Because that would explain why there are a lot of people in the plane at one point, and then it seems in the trailer there are only a few people on what looks like a very empty plane. And I'm wondering if their extras budget like what ran for like a day.
Yeah, that critter must have eaten a lot of passengers, and then what? Where's the bodies? I mean, I guess it eats them whole. I don't know. We'll find out, or we won't. We don't know when this is coming out. Another one I probably won't go out of my way for, but I do like a little monster in a movie, so maybe.
I do like a practical puppet monster. Props for not making it CGI. Because that will turn something from it will turn a film from something that is bad into something that is at the very least charming.
Yes. Yep.
And that's all the news we got for you, folks.
Yep. Late week.
Charlotte!
Hey there, little guy. We're gonna call you Sting.
Cool.
Okay.
Hey, Mom.
Excitement's growing in the house tonight. Whatever your mood, you're gonna lose your blues tonight.
happened to it?
Rats. Nasty?
What the?
Could a spider grow in a couple of hours? The stars in the sky.
There is noise.
Come on, Stink.
You got a problem with doors?
Now we have to deal with this together.
And now it's time for our feature presentation. For this episode, we watched Sting, directed by Kaya Roche Turner. It's your turn to read the massive plot summary, Julie.
I even cut it a little bit and it's still long. A mysterious object falls from the sky and smashes through the window of a rundown New York apartment building. It is an egg, from the egg emerges a strange little spider. The creature is discovered by Charlotte, an isolated and rebellious 12-year-old girl obsessed with comic books. Keeping it as a secret pet, she names it Sting. As Charlotte's fascination with Sting increases, so does its size, growing at a monstrous rate. Sting's appetite for blood becomes insatiable.
So, the spider is named after something from The Hobbit, which I immediately thought, like, oh, they're going to call it Shalob. Nope, call it Sting. I know, like, Shalob is from the Lord of the Rings books and not that. But, like, I was just like, that irked me so much.
Yeah.
Like, the level of, like, you know, my geekery is getting in the way of my nerdery in case. And I feel like it's only one of, like, many things that kind of irked me about this movie, because it starts off so well.
Yeah. I will say on the names, at least they named the kid Charlotte and not the spider.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, a little on the nose. It's a movie that when it works, like, I'm 100% on board for it. Like the opening is like, from like the title sequence through like introducing us to some of the characters, loved it, like was super in. And then I'm just gonna, like, this movie like never aggravated me or everything was just like irksome is like the best word I can use to describe it. Also, I realized that when we teased this at the end of the last episode, the movie I was thinking of is Infested.
Oh,
and that was the movie I was like all excited to see, and then watched this, and I realized what it was, I was like, this is on me.
Well, as someone who just saw both, we started Panic Fest with Sting, and we ended In Person Panic Fest with Infested. Infested is the superior spider movie, and in fact, it is. I will just skip ahead. It is in my What Else You Should Watch, because it is coming to Shudder on April 26th. I say you should watch it with caution, because I've never wanted to walk out of a movie more than I wanted to walk out of Infested, and not because it was bad. I was so unsettled. I wanted to pace the aisles. I wanted to leave. I've never heard so many men shrieking in a theater in my life, like shrieking. The spider effects, I'm not trying to go off on an Infested tangent, but the spider effects in Infested are so fucking good that it feels like they're coming out of the screen onto your body. Every string on your clothes, every long hair on your head is going to bother you for days. I reviewed it for Downright Creepy, so you can go read it. I had to leave my house to write that review, because every time I started to write, I just felt spiders everywhere, and I just needed that vibe not in my house.
Oh, man. That's wonderful.
Sting, on the other hand, a delightful family tale with a murderous spider.
if it were slightly less bloody, this would be like a really good family movie. And it seems to me like it was like a milder movie for like, you know, like a light PG-13 that they just added a bunch of swearing and blood so that they could really market it to like the horror crowd, as opposed to like making it like a family adventure movie.
Yeah.
Because I posted this on Twitter shortly after seeing the movie, and I very much sort of stand by it, is that I would really prefer if filmmakers stopped focusing on family drama in monster movies.
Yeah, I wondered if that's what this was about when I saw that tweet.
Yeah, like for those who did read it, I'm here to watch like odd and magnificently disgusting creatures battle each other and or humans and not follow the interpersonal dynamics of a family in crisis. It's like the same reason I don't like the first Godzilla remake that's part of the, you know, the bigger like Godzilla Kong universe, because at one point like there's like Godzilla fighting creatures and then they cut away to like show a family arguing, and I was like, no, Godzilla fight things, that's why I'm watching this movie. Like I understand this means it might lack nuance, but
well, I think in this case it's just too convoluted, the family drama. We've got a stepdad, but you're not totally sure of that to begin with, and then we don't know what's happened to the dad. It doesn't really matter, but they decide it matters, so they put too much of the backstory of the actual dad. You could have you need a little bit of that family tension just to understand why this child might focus on this new pet, but not, you don't need all that they give you. Like, it's too much, and you could leave it at the stepdad draws comics, that's fun for them, and this whole thing becomes a comic book of adventure kind of thing.
Yeah, you don't need the fact that it's like, okay, so there's dad left, mom remarried, they have new baby, they're obviously struggling and living in an apartment that is owned by the mom's aunt, or the mom's mom slash Charlotte's grandmother obviously has some form of dementia or Alzheimer's, and the aunt slash great aunt owns the apartment building and is a bit of a slumlord, and it's just like
she's very Cruella DeVille.
She's very her name is Helmut, which is a little much. No, I'm sorry, not Helmut, Gunter. Her name is Gunter. It's like there's all of this backstory that you get in a very short period of time.
Yeah, because it's not a long film.
No, it's like 91 minutes, and I believe I read something where like 7 minutes of that are the end credits.
Yeah, it does buzz along. It's all the thing that always gets me is this, and this happens in all kinds of stuff. This is an Australian film, I think, shot in Australia or New Zealand, but pretending to be Brooklyn, and it's just not. Like,
yeah,
it's just not. The doorknobs aren't that high in Brooklyn. I'm not trying to be nitpicky, but I get really caught up in that sort of stuff. I don't think anywhere in New York has vents that gigantic. I'm not sure anywhere in the world has vents that gigantic, but there's enough movies with people crawling through the ducts that someplace must, but I don't think it's apartment buildings in Brooklyn.
Even in Brooklyn, even in a slum, that is a massive apartment.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really big apartment. Like, they not only have, she has her own room, the parents have a room, the stepdad has a good, decent sized like closet office to do like his illustration work. It looks like the mom has her own office in the house too. Like, it's crazy. So very...
All right, technical difficulties, but we were talking about how this apartment is implausible.
It is so implausible. the thing is, it's like really like you get a feel, like you can feel like how big the building is and all of that. So it is like a nice design and all of that. But like, despite it being like a really short film, like there are lengthy portions where it is just a family drama without a lot of spider. Like I want more of Charlotte and the spider, because like that's a really nice part.
Yeah, because during the family drama bits, they really don't make me like Charlotte very much. In fact, I don't really like anyone very much.
Except for
the grandma with dementia. She seems cool.
Yeah, no, like the grandma's great, Frank's great. And yeah, like the whole family just like they all just kind of seem like unpleasant people. And I was really expecting like the bonding with Sting to like me, like there is a lot of foreshadowing in this movie where we see a lot of things that are going to come into play later on, but they make a very big deal about Charlotte like and Sting like communicating like mimicry and stuff. That never like that is the like the Chekhov's gun that gets like taken out of the holster and put like back in the gun safe. Like
Yeah, I thought, and I guess this gets a little spoily, but I thought at the end there'd be a moment where Sting had to question, you know, whether or not to go after Charlotte, and that just never happened. So
it's a little disappointing. But like the scenes where like the spider's going after folks and the grossness of this movie, it is very much it's very alien. Like I mean, with just like a Newt as the main character, I guess aliens as with Newt as the main character. It's and it definitely sets up a sequel at the end. And
which I will see if we see a sequel. I don't know.
Like this is a movie I like. When I liked it, I really liked it. But for the most part, I was. It's been a while since for a movie that we've covered on this podcast. Like maybe since Exorcist Believer that I've just literally been like bored for the vast majority of a runtime. Like usually I'm like, even if it sucks, I'm kind of entertained, but it's for as short as it is and as good as parts of it are, it is just like, I don't know if those parts are that good or if it's just in comparison to the rest of the film.
Yeah. People that I saw it with seemed to really enjoy it. And it's not that I didn't enjoy it, but it was on my list of things to potentially review, and I came out of it and I was just like, I don't have anything to say. Like there's just nothing to say for me about this film. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's a spidery good time. I think it's more it's more in line with Arachnophobia than Infested is, because it's got humorous elements like Arachnophobia had. So if you're looking for if you're choosing between two spider movies that are out this year and you want one that's a little more lighthearted, I guess Sting is the way to go. If you want one that's going to wreck your life, Infested is the way to go.
I feel like this is a movie that like probably would be really good like for like if you've got like teenagers out there who want something that it's not entry level, it's good mid level.
Yeah.
Like horror.
Like the only parts that make it not good for kids would be the gore and the kind of violence of it. It's not, there might be some like swearing and whatnot, but I don't think there's a ton, and there's definitely no sexual content or drugs. I don't know, whatever you might not want your kids to see out of those things. There's gore, but that's it.
Yeah. And it when it goes gory, they don't hold back. So like that was kind of the surprise of all of this. I expected a lot of like cutaways and like implied stuff, and like nope.
Yeah, you get to see it all.
We're going to see a spider crawl out from inside of someone.
Indeed.
Yeah, so I don't think we have a whole lot more to say on that.
Yeah. If it's your thing, check it out. It's in theaters now. I don't know if we know where it will land outside of after theaters. I have to imagine Shudder or something.
I feel like this might end up on Hulu, honestly.
Oh, yeah. It has that vibe. Have that kind of glossy
like Hulu vibe. Or Peacock. Like it has it's probably more Hulu. It has a very like fan, like it is like I think Hulu probably, but
yeah,
who knows,
maybe in time for Halloween.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. All right, what else do you got that people should watch if they want something sort of like this?
If you want like a funny infestation movie, watch Tremors.
Yeah,
you should always watch Tremors. It is Reba McEntire's like one of her finest hours. And also Aliens. Go rewatch Aliens. Don't watch the director's cut. If you haven't seen the director's cut and you want a lot more background on Newt, yeah, then you get that. But yeah, go watch Aliens. What about you?
Well, as I said, Infested, if you can handle it. I also thought, you know, and that'll be on Shudder. Why not revisit for silly infestation in a way, Snakes on a Plane? That's on Stars, or you can rent it. It had that similar feeling where it made me want to pull my feet up in the chair because there could be a spider afoot. There could be a snake afoot in Snakes on a Plane. I just think you'll have a good time with that if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. And now so it's time.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was just going to say, if you see Sting, let us know what you think of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like especially like if you've got like kids or something and, you know, like teenagers, like let us know whether it works for them or not.
Yeah.
It's time for I'll Be Right Back. What do we have coming up that's spooky? I imagine you might be a little spooked out after a week of Panic Fest.
Yeah, I do kind of have to do more of a what I've been doing than what I will be doing, which is to say that I just watched, you know, a few dozen horror movies in conjunction with Panic Fest, and also hung out with some of you, which was awesome. I got to meet listener Spencer. He came up and got a sticker, so that was cool. Because I know he's been following us for a while and he's in Kansas City. And I had never gotten to meet him. One thing I do want to recommend to our listeners, something that I just found and maybe something I think, Nick, you probably already know about, which is this YouTube show called Movie Hell, which is done by another listener, Lee Leslie. He put out his first episode like 3 weeks ago and I just hadn't watched it. And I finally did the other day. It's so good. He is like a skeleton horror host guy. Talking about in his first episode is The Thing, and I think he has another episode coming out soon, it looked like. He's just talking about movies that are very popular cult following now, but at the time really overshadowed by E.T. And it just had a lot of like cool facts. It was, you know, very horror host kind of Joe Bob adjacent as far as like knowledge about the movie. I just thought it was really well done and people should check that out.
I've been totally meaning to check that out. I just feel like for the last week, if I've been home, I've either been working or asleep.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that is on my list of things to reward myself when I get done doing chores today. I have for me. In terms of things I've seen, I finally got to see The People's Joker, not horror, but is like culty and transgressive in a way that I feel like horror fans would really like. Vera Drew has made a movie that like I was hanging out with some friends last night and I could not shut up about it. But my most horror-y thing that I have to do that I will be doing in the next week is I have like a 4-page article to write about Carnival of Souls for Starburst.
Fun.
Because I live in Lawrence and the house that serves as boarding house in that film is in my neighborhood. And so I get to like maybe go out and take some pictures of that and like the various places in town that are in the film. So that's very exciting. I've been doing a lot of research into that movie and diving like deep into the history of Syntron films as well, which has been a blast and a half.
Fun.
That's most of my week.
Cool, cool. Well, thanks for listening to the Carnage Report, everyone. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Report Carnage, and we can be reached via email at carnagereportpod@gmail.com if you'd like to make any suggestions for upcoming episodes, or just share your thoughts, or just say hi.
We have the aforementioned new stickers and buttons, and you can reach out to us on socials or email us at that carnagereportpod@gmail.com address, and we'll get a sticker and some buttons out to you. I was waiting on getting those new stickers and buttons. A couple of you have sent in messages, and those will be going out this week. Feel free to tell your friends. We're proudly. I am finally having owned my car for a year now, it is time to start vandalizing it. I'm finally going to slap a Carnage Report sticker on my car.
Nice. All right. All music featured in this episode is by Steve Spacek, who you can find on Instagram at Starling Woodworks and at nodder.bandcamp.com. Nick, where can they find you online?
I am Nicklaus Mouse on Instagram. I am From and Inspired on Letterboxd, and I am Nuthouse Punks on Twitter/X/Blue Sky. Julie, where are you online?
I am Dark Humor Girl everywhere you're looking for me. If you want to see what I watched at Panic Fest, you can definitely find my lists on Letterboxd. And if you want to read my coverage, that's on Downright Creepy. I think it's all up now. I might have one more coming out, but if I do, it'll be up by the time you hear this. So yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next episode with another roundup of the latest news in horror when we talk about Late Night with the Devil, directed by Cameron Cairns and Colin Cairns, as well as an interview with the filmmakers. Julie,
yay.
What's it all about?
A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms.
That is very much burying the lead.
But it's the kind of synopsis we like. Don't tell us too much.
Yeah. Can't wait for you all to hear what we think about it, and for everybody to get to see it when it hits Shudder on Friday.
Yay.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.